2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes!
Yes! The teams you live for, the sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on 97.5 1280 The Zone. Powered by KSLSports.com.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It is Unrivaled, 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network, powered by KSL Sports. Thanks for being with us on the program. Alex Keery, former NFL quarterback Scott Mitchell. We were talking a little bit earlier in the show. If you miss any of the program, by the way, you can always download the podcast. We post those dang things every dang day. All right? And every show across the entire Zone Sports Network as well. You can hear all the podcasts all day long. Download the KSL Sports app. You can stream the station live all day, or you can go back and listen to episodes as well of the program. Biggest news of the day was obviously the Pac-12 is scrapping divisions as part of the way for you to be able to qualify for the Pac-12 championship game. The thing is that the divisions are still there as it's set up for scheduling, because that's the thing that you can't, you know, you can't really mess with, Scott. Like, is the actual schedule, because they have that thing set, and so they're going to be playing the traditional schedule as it's kind of put.
Well, they'll have to continue to have a schedule,
right? Like, so when they actually scrap the divisions totally,
could there be the potential that Utah doesn't play USC? You know, or you know, that it rotates right all the way around, so that there's
There be a more traditional round robin like we've seen in the past, yeah, in some of these conferences? Don't know, but the Pac-12 is now going to take those highest percentage conference wins, the top two teams, and 5 out of the last 11 years, the conference championship game would have been affected, including one that Utah played in 2018. So big news. You're going to get the best two teams playing each other. That's what you want as a fan. So that's the big news from today.
The bigger news to me is the Pac-12 actually did something. Like, they didn't just go, oh, yeah.
Right. I think George Kliavkov is killing it, man. I mean, yeah, it was within minutes of the NCAA saying that they were going to look the other way on how to do these conference championship games, and they changed it. So good for them. Yeah. We're going to kick the show off, as we always do, with The Cut, and joining us is going to be the voice of the Utah Jazz, David Locke. So let's get right to The Cut.
The unquestioned, undeniable, unrivaled, top sports story of the hour. Here's what made The Cut.
Ain't nothing like it.
The Cut brought to you by University of Utah Health. At University of Utah Health, you get the same great care that the Jazz, the Utes, and RSL all trust. UofUHealth.org. It is UofUHealth.org. And also joining us on the program, courtesy of the Murdoch Auto Group, is David Locke, voice of the Jazz. David, how's it going, man?
I'm good. I've got a few questions for you right out of the chute.
All right.
Oh.
One, shouldn't The Cut be brought to you by University of Utah Orthopedic Center?
Listen.
Okay.
If you want to get on the sales staff, it's open for business.
I mean, I've just been listening to that every week, and I'm like, doesn't it have to be from the Orthopedic Center if it's going to be called The Cut?
Yeah.
Could
be a steakhouse. Could be a steakhouse, too. I mean, hey.
Could be.
In the future.
Could be. Well, yes, that is true. Second one is, so when the Pac-12 expanded, or the Pac-10 expanded to 12,
right,
yes,
they promised Stanford to get them to go to the North, that they would play USC and UCLA every year, because those are Stanford's. Stanford is a longtime Pac-8 member,
sure, right,
had that USC-UCLA rivalry and the Cal rivalry, and the deal was that they were guaranteed to get USC and UCLA on their on their schedule every year. So Stanford, for all these last years, has been playing a different schedule than all of the other northern teams. And it's actually why Stanford has come to Utah so rarely. Is that still in place?
That's a good question. I mean, I think that right now, I don't know what the divisions are going to look like going forward. And those, I mean, obviously you would know the Stanford background with your connections there. But I mean, I think in the end, what George Kliavkov is trying to do is just like, hey, man, we got to make this conference a little bit stronger to be able to look a little bit better to be in that college football playoff discussion. And, you know, there's a couple years in there. We were looking at this schedule kind of over the years. Washington and Washington State would have repeated the Apple Cup in 2018 because they were the number 10 team and number 12 team in the country. And one beat the other the week before and won that North and then left out, Wazoo out of that whole thing. And so the whole deal is, I think it just makes it more competitive.
I think yes, to answer your question. And I'll say it like this, and I'm just speculating here, but I'm not going to say I don't have any information to know for sure, but I would think that the conference would want to maintain those traditional rivalries every year. So the Apple Cup, like Alex just talked about, you know, Washington State, Oregon State, UCLA, USC, Stanford, Cal. Arizona State, and then Utah and Colorado, it doesn't matter.
Well, I was going to say, those teams don't have traditional rivals, so maybe that's where you mix it up, is you don't care about those teams that don't have traditional rivals.
I think you'd be smart to do that, though, to keep those rivalries, and I, you know, the Stanford rivalry and all that stuff.
There's going to be some potting that goes on where groups of four all play each other every year.
Right.
I think so.
Yeah.
Right, because Washington's going to want to play Oregon every year. That's a huge rivalry.
Right.
So I think you're going to pod the Washington schools and the Pacific Northwest schools. You're going to, if you get rid of Cal, you pod the California schools, you pod the Arizona and Utah schools and Rocky Mountain schools, and you play them every year.
Yeah, it has to be.
And then you build your schedule out of that if you're getting rid of this. The other question I would have on this, good, that was good, Scott. The other point I would make on this is, do we actually think it gets more teams into the championship? Because, you know, if the real problem is, more often than not, we don't have a team that's championship, you know, playoff worthy by the time we get to the playoff. It's not that we've been having teams go to the championship game and losing and then suddenly not being playoff worthy.
Right.
In fact, I can't think of that happening.
No, but
maybe Oregon somewhere along the way. So I wonder, the only thing I feel like this is, if we ever actually have one of those teams that's playoff worthy, we're now putting them at more risk than they might have been before.
Well, I think that if there's the idea would be too, that the argument is if they're on the edge and they have a better win against, for example, Stanford beating UCLA, or Oregon beating UCLA a few years ago, when that UCLA team was, I think, 9-4 overall or 8-5 or whatever it was on the season, when they should have been playing Stanford in the Pac-12 championship game. Then you have a team like Oregon that everybody's looking at and going, okay, so they even that good? They just beat a 9-5 team to win the conference championship, so to speak. And that's, I think, you can accelerate a little bit of that thought of they have better quality wins. Now, from the SEC side of things, if the SEC goes a different direction, maybe that game actually does eliminate the idea. You could actually put in danger the idea of that second SEC team getting in, because sometimes that team who loses in the Iron Bowl ends up not having to play in the SEC championship game, and they're like, phew, we don't have to lose another game this next week, so we're going to get in the playoff.
Well, right, so we're a one-loss team that gets in,
but,
right?
Right, but I could see a scenario where – And certainly hasn't happened in the Pac-12. I mean, to barely get one team in would be a minor miracle these days. But if you had two teams, let's just play out a scenario. You had Utah, USC, undefeated. Let's say USC beats Utah early on in the year. So Utah or USC remains undefeated, and Utah goes on and doesn't have another loss all year. So both of those, so they would play each other in the Pac-12 championship. And what if Utah won? And let's say USC is, like, let's say they're number two in the college football playoff ranking. Again, this is like
a few years down the line.
Yeah,
maybe.
This is a unicorn scenario here. But let's say Utah beats them, and maybe Utah is like at five, And so maybe does Utah get in, and does USC get in, and the potential of maybe having 2 1-loss teams from the same conference actually getting into the playoffs?
So what you're telling me is we have another pandemic. If you don't wear a mask, you actually die, and no one's alive in the South anymore for this to happen.
The SEC becomes part of the NFC and AFC East.
The SEC was actually eliminated, and Governor DeSantis has actually killed all of the people who live in Florida. So
Florida's underwater.
Miami and Florida State don't exist. Yeah, right. And we had a climate control event.
I'm just using these two teams as examples. I believe me, I don't think this is a real chance.
When Utah and USC get into the college football playoff, because
when USC is 2 and Utah is 5, really, we don't sound like a Homer podcast at all.
It happens.
Of course not.
You realize if like somebody's traveling for business and they're from the South Texas and they just listen to this, what they think of us right now?
If they're from Texas, they have no foot to stand on at this point.
I don't want to talk about Auburn and Alabama. Sorry, I hate the SEC. I think they're a bunch of snobs, so I'm not gonna use them as my example.
Yes, in the event that the SEC ends up becoming part of the NFL, yes, this could be a scenario that we're talking about.
I was wondering the other day, like I was listening to someone talking about pro sports, and I was like, and where does college fit? Where is college at this point?
Right,
the pro game. I was like, and that's different than college football. How now? Right. Like,
not at all.
Well, yeah, I don't think it's been. There's no difference now. I mean, they're finally playing the players above board. A lot of these players have been paid before, and now they've just legitimized the compensation.
Let me ask you this, David, because this is a cross section with the world that you live in the majority of the time, and you know, Jay Wright actually after his retirement said. Now, I think NIL is going to be good for college basketball ultimately because once we kind of figure it out, it's like once the dust settles, basically, it will make it stronger because then you don't have to – it will be competitive with these leagues that are taking players away from adding to the NBA from that stock versus, you know, having these other alternate leagues that guys don't want to go to college and avoid going to college with. So how does NIL affect ultimately what ends up in the NBA, or does it?
I don't think NIL affects the NBA at all, but I think Jay Wright's 100% correct. I think so. Right now, if you have a top 20 prospect, you're the parent of a top 20 prospect. At that point, you should be in still somewhat control of what goes on. Your choices right now are the Australian League, get paid about $1 million. G League Ignite, get paid a few hundred thousand. Maybe more. I think 500,000 is the biggest. Overtime Elite. I think you're paid a few hundred thousand.
Right.
Or go to college and get nothing. So which one of the SAT time? Remember the SAT, Scott? We got to get over 800 to get you eligible. Right.
I scored well on my entrance exam.
I actually don't doubt that. Which of these does not belong with the others?
Sure.
Right? College not getting paid at all. You know, the real problem, college, I've said this for decades since I actually used to host one of these things. I've always said if I had a top 20 player out of high school, I would never let them go to college because they restrict their practice time.
And the injury risk without money attached to it.
Right. But even more than anything else, they restrict his practice time.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Right? Like, I've got a kid who's a top 20. What is my most likely sequence? He's going to college to get a job, right?
That's why
we go to college,
that's
to get a better job.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, we go to college to learn more and get a better job. But, like, you're majoring in something. Like, my son's majoring in applied math. It's not so that he can go become an English teacher.
Right.
Right? It's so he can have a career in math. So if you're not going to let, one, my kids major in their sport, and there's an absolute major you could create out of that has value, and two, you're not going to let them practice. You don't mind the flutist practicing. You don't mind the theater kid practicing. You only care about my basketball player, football player practicing. So I'm out.
Right.
So the first problem the NCAA has is if you're going to restrict my kid from practicing, then that's clearly what he's going to do. So what it's time for is the NCAA to take the next step, which is not only can you get name, image, and likeness, but you can major in your sport. And that major is real. It includes coaching and nutrition and finance. and branding and all of these things, because you might end up being a basketball coach. You could end up working for Nike and like, there's no reason you shouldn't be able to major in basketball studies.
Right. And these guys are rolling up on their rookie symposiums, learning more about their new profession than they ever learned when they were in college.
And, you know, like,
the amount of jobs in sports today, why can't you major in basketball studies?
That's a great idea. And on top of that, to be competent enough at your craft, like, you have to work at it so long. And you really do, and you really have to put in, you know, I used to take golf lessons from a teaching pro, and he says there's just a point where you just have to bang enough balls. I mean, you just have to hit a bunch of golf balls. And it was like that for me in football. It's like you have to just throw a lot of passes. And when you're limiting someone's ability to just that side of it, and all these other, the nutrition, the other side of it, the job opportunities, but the actual craft of whatever sport you're in, you know, shooting 10,000 jump shots, there really is a process of being able to do that. And when you're limited, you know, and what happens is these players, they either don't do it or they do it on their own, and they don't have the right fundamentals or correction or development, or they spend an inordinate amount of money and time going out wherever. Right. You know, I mean, you think of these quarterbacks that go to John Beck in California from BYU, you know, they drive to California, you know, on their own dime because they can't do it at college.
Right.
I don't think you really maximize someone's potential when you limit their ability to actually practice and really work at their craft.
What do you think a nutrition class would have done for you in college?
You know, nutrition's everything. Like, I would say, I'll tell you the two things that I would absolutely spend the most time on, and that one would
for
be
a future pro athlete.
Future pro athlete, number one would be nutrition. No, actually, number one would be
money. Man.
How to train your brain, It's 1,000% mental. You know, watching these Utah, it's like Rudy Gobert. Rudy Gobert gets into the playoffs, and his free throw shot changes. Like, it just gets ugly, and you can just see it's all in his head. And when it's in his head, it affects his physical performance. Well, number one would be mental training and learning how to tap into getting your brain to work for you. And number two would be nutrition. Hands down.
Right. So, and mental training might be more useful to you than reading Hamlet. I'm just going to go out on an edge.
Oh, you could apply that to any facet of your life. I mean, once you,
right.
Yeah. Hands down. It's fascinating to me how your brain impacts how you perform anywhere.
Here's a crazy one.
See, David, every day I have to go into this this trance. Every day we're going to have you on the show to get mentally prepared for you. Takes me about, I don't know, four days.
My nutrition falls right off,
That's a problem. Yeah, well, most people just take a shot of espresso or two, and then they feel better. But I understand for some people that's not an option. The other one, I mean, like, if you think about the insanity of all this, right? Like, someone who's listening right now and saying, well, that's a, you know, can you major in basketball? I couldn't have majored in broadcasting. Why can't you major in basketball?
No, I know.
Like, that's college and major in broadcasting.
I majored in broadcasting.
They have majors for gaming. I mean, these kids can game as a...
Right, 100%. It's just so silly. So, my point on, we started on that was Jay Wright. Jay Wright is beginning to be right. In other words, NIL will be good for college basketball. But there's so many other things that have to happen to make college basketball a decent answer for a player to go play college basketball.
And at the same time, he and Randy Ray both were like, this is a lot right now. I'm going to get out right now. I'm cool. I'm gone.
I missed your guys' interview with Randy Ray and Scott and Hands. Did he literally say that Nell was a part of it?
I mean, it was just like, hey, the way things are, that's not my style anymore. It's just not my style. And I've loved the game, and I wish these guys the best of luck, but – it's changed a lot, and it's made the job different. And I think for some guys, it doesn't make it fun anymore.
I've never understood this. Explain this to me in college. Sorry, Alex, I'm going to interrupt you. Go ahead. I've never understood this in college sports at all. Why the head coach and the recruiter are the same thing?
in football, they all go, what's your worst part of your job? It's recruiting. It's the hardest. It's,
so
it's
why
recruiting.
Wouldn't you just hire someone who his job is the head coach of recruiting? Like basically a general manager, right?
Right.
But like these things are billion-dollar industries. The coaches are getting paid $6 million.
Right.
We could pay someone $2 million to be the head of recruiting. Maybe they're the head of NIL too. I don't know, but they certainly should be a 12 out. You know, it's a 24/7 job. Other than the few times that the NCAA says you can't do it, and they do it anyway.
Yeah, most good programs will have they'll have a recruiting coordinator. They'll have a whole team of people that are involved in the recruiting process, and they'll right. they'll divide up. You know,
when does Nick Saban show up? Which yeah. guys does Nick Saban show up to chat with? You know, that's had to be pretty strategic.
He'd be the closer, and he'd be the
All right, so it's close. But it just seems to me that, like, why can't Jay Wright and Randy Ray coach basketball?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a tough question. And I think some of these guys, the biggest thing is that they can coach all day. The thing that they have the least amount of control over is the transfer portal now. And that I think that is actually more of a problem for these guys than NIL is, really.
If you talk to Kyle Whittingham, he goes, most of my time is dealing with problems. I mean, I'm not coaching. I'm an administrator at this point.
Right.
I'm dealing with.
Right.
I mean, and you're dealing with 18 to 21 year old young men, and 100 of them at a time. You know, you're going to have problems. I mean, it's a monumental task.
I think there's another factor in here that I had not thought about until this conversation, but I was in this conversation with some close friends today. The age group of about 16 to 25, I think maybe 16 to 23, is the group that was hit hardest by COVID in their mental health.
Huh.
And so I wonder if a little of the Jay Wright, Randy Ray is, they're just dealing with, you know, we got 16 Division I athletes committed suicide this year, right?
Mm.
That's a crazy number. That's just Division I athletes. Those are people that have a lot of support, supposedly, like they should. They're people that in our model of what this is maybe the most important lesson to this, right, is that in what we classify as success in our society, those are successful people. Now, that's like the first lesson I think we've been trying to be pounded into our heads over the last decade, is that the outward perspective of success and the outward, you know, vision that people of what seemingly you're fine is not. Does not preclude someone from having mental illness,
right.
And that's maybe the most important lesson here.
And
but I wonder if that's a part of this.
Yeah, and that's
this group is not this age. This generation is really damaged by what's happened the last 3 years.
Well, and then you have guys dealing with it to an extent that, you know, obviously they didn't deal with it before, and so that mental health aspect gets to them and it affects their mental health. I mean, these guys in their early 60s who are going, normally I'd coach till I was 74, but it's too hard right now. Too hard.
And their bank accounts are big.
Yep. That's exactly right.
Yeah. Like Ron A. Begley was going to coach till he was 70 years old because he probably still needed the money.
Yeah. Well, Locke, hey, we should talk about the NBA next week. What do you think? I don't care, actually.
No, this
is
fun. I love
the
this conversation.
The NBA's been pretty good recently, but I do like these other conversations.
No, this is an awesome conversation. Hope
I didn't derail the show.
No. Look, we only derail our show about every five minutes.
There's only been one game
in these conference finals so far, and it was a couple guys with the Celtics without their two really important players. And so I think everybody thought that the Heat were going to win that game last night anyway. But we'll be further into it next week, and we'll be able to really get a breakdown from you.
Here's my one NBA thought for our conversation. Get over the Luka frustration of having him beat us. And realize that you're watching the beginning of Michael Kobe LeBron, the next person.
Hey, why not? Yeah.
And enjoy watching that. This, you know, this is LeBron at the similar stage in his career. You know, go back and look at the Cavalier team. LeBron carried at almost the exact same age to the finals. Like, it's a bunch of nobodies. Is Luka about to do the same thing?
I was equally annoyed with Luka in that series against the Jazz as I was entertained by him in that series against Phoenix. I came around. I was like, I like this guy right now. Like, the same head shakes, the same, like, pouty face he was doing to the crowd against the Jazz fans. I went, I kind of like this guy's attitude. You know, I was like, I guess just change the team, and it changed my whole outlook. So, Locke, we're going
to guess. I'm going to guess only one of the three of us have any understanding what it's like to know that you're clearly the best player on the field or floor at that moment.
And what it's like to have that feeling is probably pretty unique. Pretty
it's awesome. Called Nirvana.
Locke, we'll talk to you next week. We appreciate it. I love having any of these conversations with you. So we love having you on, and thanks for being with us.
Thanks, guys. Talk
right.
to you soon.
We'll see you. All right. Take the break. David Locke, voice of the Utah Jazz. Voice of reason today on the program. So let's take the break here. We'll come back. And NFL roundup is around the corner. 2-minute drill, all that. So stay with us. Unravel continues 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLPodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.